This is Maurice Jones-Drew, and you're listening to the What's Brewing Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for West Coast Bias, the show brought to you all the way from the best coast. It's the West Coast Bias, that is. Aw, yeah.
Jamal, you crazy son of a bitch bastard, explain yourself. It is now 12:26 in the a.m., and we just potted two pods in a row. We've potted all we could pod, but yet here we are potting some more. And the reason is because me and you, you know, some of the other people have fallen off, but it's me and you here now. And we just can't contain ourselves, can we?
You answered it. We're crazy bastards.
It's a few days later after all the news is kind of fallen out. And,
right.
You didn't think that we were going to get Kawhi Leonard, talking about the Lakers.
No.
I had convinced myself that they were, but then again, so had everybody else, really, if you look at the media that was saying anything.
Sure.
It turns out they don't get Kawhi Leonard, and then there's this super mega trade, Paul George, Kawhi, the Clippers don't need to rehash because everybody knows what happened. But in light of all that, right, what the hell, just right off the top before we get into the specifics, what was your overall feeling? Well, first of all, where were you when this happened? And what was your overall feeling when it did happen?
I was at work on the eighth floor.
Oh, gosh.
The hospital is eight floors, and we were at the top floor, and we just had two earthquakes. So that was the
so it all fit together.
Yeah, that was the third earthquake. It was the most cliche thing. Yes, it was the third earthquake of the evening. I was shocked, bamboozled. Mike texted us, and I immediately looked at Twitter's. Don't worry, my patients were fine at the moment. So it was shocking because that was the first thing you see. And I really wasn't. I wasn't convinced that he was coming to the Lakers, but I sure as heck wasn't convinced he was going to the Clippers.
This is about as shocking of a development as you could have.
Right.
I mean, they're, you know, yeah.
Because the story was he wanted a second superstar if he was going to go to the Clippers.
For as far as it coming out of left field, I mean, you could the headline could have been Lakers trade LeBron to L.A.
Right.
Or, you know, to the Clippers, or AD is traded. I mean,
right.
All those things would have been equally as shocking as far as the
right.
way it played out and the way it played out over the course of like 30 seconds.
Right.
Bam, 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 Woj bomb. Oh, yeah.
Right,
see,
right.
He put his nuts on everybody's head.
Right.
And just, you know, the king's back.
Although, well, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about it. But and then in my head, the pettiness was like, damn, I didn't get a chance to gloat.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance. I you know, immediately I knew, you know, I'm like you. I'm a big podcast listener. A lot of my podcasts have to do with sports. And I'm a big fan of The Ringer and what they do.
Mm.
And all those guys are anti-Lakers. You know, you got the Boston guys. You got the 76ers guys. You got a couple guys who are Clippers fans because of the whole Lob City. You know, they're younger. It's
I think on
younger.
Every single one of their shows, the phrase was uttered, I'm just so glad that
you didn't go
to the Lakers.
Right.
You know, and for the guys that were more moderate, it was they wanted to see some parity in the league.
Right.
But for most of them, you're right. It was like, shit.
Yeah, yeah. They were so happy that they didn't go to the Lakers.
That is a very annoying aspect of the various Ringer podcast.
And so immediately the pettiness in me was like, damn, I don't get to gloat like these people are gloating. I just knew all the stuff that we were going to hear about the Lakers.
Yeah.
All the narratives. I mean, I think that was my first tweet was the narratives were going to pop out.
Yeah, of course, the narrative being, oh, LeBron can't get free agents and
right.
all this other garbage. Like, this is so stupid.
LeBron can't get free agents, the dysfunction of the front office, yada, yada. It's just a bunch of stuff that I didn't want to hear.
You know, and the bottom line is that as poor as the Lakers looked, you know, a month and a half ago, they still traded for Anthony Davis. And when you look at, we'll get to their plan B in a minute, but I mean, we all agreed, even you agreed, even though you didn't think they were going to get Kawhi Leonard, you thought, or you were okay with the idea that they were, I mean, you wish they hadn't have waited around, but you understood the logic of them waiting around for Kawhi Leonard, right?
It was logical.
It was like you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
Right.
Now, I seriously think that, especially the news that we heard coming out afterwards, and of course you hear all sorts of little various things, but it really does seem to me like the Lakers keeping themselves open to it, which nobody can blame them for, even though after the facts people are blaming them, even though they're talking on both sides of the mouth because they're like, you know, how could the Lakers not get any free agents? How do they bonk this up? And then before they're like, oh, you have to wait around because it's Kawhi Leonard. It's stupid.
Right.
But with that being said, the thing I do buy is that the Lakers, by being this interested and being in the Kawhi sweepstakes for so long, they actually enabled the Clippers to get this deal done, because if the Lakers aren't hot to trot for Kawhi and aren't that big, giant, looming threat there that if the Lakers get Kawhi Leonard, the Clippers, I don't care what you say about how well they position themselves, they are, that is just such a huge, colossal flop for them after a year of, oh, we're going to get Kawhi.
Right.
And I don't think that OKC is necessarily as desperate to get Paul, you know, to take the, even though let me phrase that the other way. I don't think the Clippers are as desperate to make the trade for Paul George if the Lakers' pressure isn't there.
Correct.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so in that way, it's kind of like a, man, the Lakers really couldn't win in this situation.
No. They were all in to create what their plan has been, to get big-time free agents to come. And in essence, it scared the Clippers enough where they're like, there's no way we would be able to compete with those guys across the hall.
Yeah.
It didn't matter how functional their office was. Didn't matter how much cap space they had, how much money they had from the bottomless pit of money that their owner has. It wouldn't have mattered because it would have just been what's been typical lately in this league is you've got this three-headed monster. You're talking about two of the young... You would have LeBron James, who some consider to be the second best player in the world, Anthony Davis, one of the best young players, and certainly the best big man in the world, and then you have a guy like Kawhi Leonard who just came off of winning a Finals MVP. That's what scared the Clippers so much that they're willing to give up so much in the second bombshell, which was the Paul George trade.
And then, of course, they give all these picks, like three of which are theirs, two of which were picks they got from other teams. But you're right. You know, it's like everybody's kind of – that's another thing. It's funny. Like, everybody was poking fun at the Lakers for giving up all these picks to get AD.
Right.
But they kind of had to do it, and that was the situation the Clippers found themselves
right.
in. And it's a little more – like, I can see why the Clippers are getting a little less guff over the amount they give up, even though they give up more, just from the fact of you really can buy the argument of they weren't giving up this stuff to get one guy. They were giving up this stuff to get two guys because
right.
they got Kawhi and Paul, and it's the same thing. And so that all makes sense.
And they kept some of their roster depth.
Oh, yeah. They absolutely did. But, I mean, but as far as, like, just the amount of picks
right.
and whatever. And they give up a guy that Jerry West and the Clippers really like and that whatever that.
Shea Gilgeous.
Yeah, that guy, yeah. yeah. But with all that being said, you know, there's no way you can paint this from the Clippers' perspective other than this was an absolute masterstroke.
Right.
Nobody knew it was coming.
Nope.
It was like a hit from The Godfather.
Yep.
It was like it was crazy how it played out.
Yes.
And even though Jerry West is getting like all of the credit, I mean, this was like an organizational success for them.
Correct.
And the one thing, though, that I see, you know, certainly they got done what they wanted to accomplish, and they have their two guys now, Kawhi and Paul George, and then their supporting cast. But the thing that I found kind of puzzling is as soon as it happened, and it seems like, and maybe it's just because I'm got the Ringer bias on me, but it seems like everybody now is saying that they're the prohibitive favorites to win the West and probably the title at this point. Not as much as what it was be with like Golden State
Correct.
A couple years ago and like that, but when you stack these teams up, what the Lakers are, and we'll talk about what they are in a minute, versus what the Clippers are, I'm just say stack up the two superstars because that's really where it counts in the playoffs.
Correct.
I can see how you can argue that George and Kawhi Leonard are a better fit together, I guess. But I don't see it being an overwhelming one way or the other as far as all of the star power that's now focused in L.A.
Right. No, I think, me personally, I think that the better duo would still be LeBron and Anthony Davis.
At least you're talking about peaks, right?
Right, because you're talking about the diversity that Anthony Davis has is way beyond what Paul George does in terms of scoring, in terms of his game, and including, to me, in defense. I know a lot of people talk about how good Paul George is in terms of being a wing defender, but whereas when you have somebody like Anthony Davis, who is sort of a throwback in terms of defense because he can man the paint as much as he can come out of it, that's, to me, much better. Paul George can't go down in the paint and block Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis can block Paul George if he's coming.
Yeah, he can't guard Anthony Davis. He can't guard Boogie Cousins. He can't guard, you know, some of the guys that they got.
Right. And whereas, you know, you're talking about LeBron and Kawhi, yeah, Kawhi's the reigning NBA Finals MVP, but obvious to me, LeBron James is a generational talent that goes beyond Kawhi because of the length of his career. You know, people forget Kawhi just got drafted, I believe, in 2012. So there's still ways to go for me to put him in the same category. So, yeah, just from it is funny. I think it's just such a big bombshell, and the fact that the Lakers didn't get what, you know, everybody was saying if the Lakers got Kawhi, they'd be the prohibitive favorites, not for this year, but for the time of the LeBron's time in LA, which would be an additional 3 years. And so when that doesn't happen, I think everybody just automatically went straight to the Clippers and just decided. And it has something to do with their lineup and the defense and stuff like that. But I think that's why everyone was so ready to just declare the Lakers the prohibitive favorites, because their big three would just be so monstrous that they just decided that it was the Clippers. And now it's, and I feel like now it's kind of evened out a little bit more.
It hasn't. And as you say that, like when I first saw the odds that came out for the new 2020 title odds,
right,
the Clippers were a little bit ahead. Then it was the Lakers and the rest. And now Arash Markazi tweeted out just a few hours ago, that's even out now too. Now the Clippers and Lakers are both a 7-2, Bucks at 9-2,
right,
7-6.
It's like a wash,
and that makes more sense to me.
Yes,
right, because certainly I can see you making an argument that one is better than the other, but to me there's no prohibitive anything, right?
No.
This just that all, I mean, just the LA now is the center of the NBA,
correct?
And hopefully it's like that for a while. And there are still some teams out there that are flitting around. I mean, obviously, I think, you know, you can still make a case Golden State will be formidable going forward. Of course they are, because they have so much, you know, championship experience, and they still have those guys for the most part. They lost Durant. But, you know, and then there's other teams that have built in the process. But to me, I feel like the Western Conference is just...
It's a grind.
It's going to be...
It's going to be very top-heavy.
The Western Conference of, like, 1999 to 2005, where you had
pretty
the Spurs,
much.
The Kings, the Lakers, the
Lakers,
Blazers.
Blazers.
You know, all those teams just battling it out,
right,
to see who's going to take on, you know, Allen Iverson-led Sixers or Reggie Miller and the Pacers and
right,
destroy them in the finals or whatnot, right?
Yeah, I think that's where we're at again. We're at a point where everyone's talking about parity, but I feel like it's tilted towards the West Coast.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel... And to be honest with you, like, I haven't been the most engaged NBA fan in the last few years just because of the waning of the Lakers, but I just don't look at the Sixers, and I don't look at the Bucks, and, you know, now Toronto losing their A guy, you know, like, I just don't see it. Now what would be interesting, and not to get too sidetracked here, Westbrook gets traded to Miami, then all of a sudden now you have another, like, it's like a poor man's Clippers there, right?
Yeah.
When you have, you know, Westbrook and Jimmy Butler.
At least if we're talking about pairing people together, yeah, having a team with Westbrook and Jimmy Butler would certainly, to me, would certainly make it more interesting on the East. But I still don't think that those two guys would be enough.
Standing up to the West.
Right.
I mean, this is really is a Western focused NBA at this point now,
correct,
right? I mean, there's no doubt about it. Now, as far as the, you know, the Lakers wait for, you know, 6-7 days. Kawhi is giving them misinformation, according to some reports, if you want to believe all that, and, you know, orchestrates to one degree or another, along with the Clippers, this amazing move. But then, despite what everybody would think about the Lakers front office, they actually acted decisively and very, very effectively, I think. I don't think you can disagree with that, Jamal.
No.
What do you think about what the Lakers did with their roster pretty much as soon as the news about the Clippers came down?
I think what they did was they implemented their plan B, and I think they stuck with it, and they knew what they were going to do. They realized, here are two superstars. What's the best way to build around them? And it's with the type of guys that they were able to sign from what was left. You know, we're talking about D... what they're calling now is D and three guys. You're talking about guys who can play defense and guys who can shoot the 3-point shot, and that's where they went with their transactions in the immediacy.
So, I mean, the big one that they signed right off the bat was they got Danny Green.
Correct.
They had already signed Troy Daniels. They had already signed Jared Dudley, which you talked about last week,
right,
on West Coast Bias. And then as it kind of flitted out there, they also signed they signed Rondo. They signed JaVale McGee, and that was kind of like, okay, yeah, no problem.
KCP
came back. You knew that was coming back.
Right.
Quinn Cook was another signing that they had.
Yes, they
right?
Did.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
And then the big one, for not that much money,
nope,
but go ahead and say it, Jamal. I know who you're looking for.
Boogie!
And I was super happy about Boogie as well because, you know, of course, I like the big guy. So now I'm like, I now have a Twin Tower team of Boogie Cousins and Anthony Davis. And you can throw JaVale McGee in there, right? But, I mean,
correct,
really, the upside for Boogie, even though he hasn't shown that in a couple of years, is huge, right?
Right.
And in the immortal words of Vic the Brick, I mean, this is going back to like Gasol and Bynum,
correct,
only probably much, much higher upside on the Bynum side of it. Boogie better than Bynum. But I mean, I'm looking for a true incarnation of Longsword and and longsword.
Yeah, I think it's one of the things that I heard, and of course this comes with a bunch of caveats, but there's only two guys who average like 28 and let's say 12 in a season. It's something like that, or maybe 25 and 12 in a season in the last, you know, 15 years. Is Boogie Cousins and Anthony Davis. So now they're teammates. Yeah. You know, you can't ask for anything better than that in terms of where they're at. The fact that Boogie is a one-year contract, you know, almost a minimum contract for him in terms of where he's at now because of the health issues. But despite that, last year he was still a 16-8 guy when he was there. You know,
on a team where he was, I mean, that was a crowded team,
right,
by the way. I mean, that was even more so crowded than what this is.
Right. He was a contributor. And if he comes back healthy and in this kind of show me kind of season where he wants to show everybody that he's still an all-star and he's worth more and for him to get paid, I mean, a lot of teams are going to be in trouble because you're already talking about, you know, LeBron James. You're talking about Anthony Davis, and then you're talking about including somebody, and they're not going to need him all the time, but if he gives a maximal effort and he's healthy, you're talking about somebody like DeMarcus Cousins. I mean, that's going to be really tough to deal with on both sides because you can't double team. You know, it's already difficult enough where you're wondering, can you double team LeBron? Can you double team Anthony Davis? And now you're going to have to deal with him being on the floor. And then just sort of the grit and toughness that he can provide on the other end as well, because Anthony Davis said he doesn't want to play center. So now you got DeMarcus in the middle, and Anthony Davis is coming out on your forwards on the perimeter.
Oh, it's
going to be
Duncan
difficult.
And Robinson, man.
Right. It's going to be very difficult for teams.
And that, I mean, that to me, like, I love watching centers play, and I know the NBA is not a center league anymore.
Right.
But I think it can be when you have really good centers,
right?
Because there's not a whole lot you could do with that, right? I think that I'm real happy with the signings made because they signed just enough of the 3D guys. I mean, we haven't talked about what Danny Green's going to do for this team.
Exactly. Who was, I think, second in the league last year in terms of percentage for passing shots. Basically, you know, he gets the ball and he shoots it immediately. He's not dribbling. He was 46% from three-point line.
And if he was doing that on a team with Kawhi and Marc Gasol,
exactly.
I mean, this is only going to improve for him.
Exactly.
Right? And then you look at the guy, we haven't even mentioned Kuzma yet.
No.
And that's a guy that showed so much promise
right. That
now, I mean, that guy is either going to be the sixth man of the year or he's going to be like the, you know, like the fifth Beatle out there, you know. I don't see a situation where Kuzma, Green, even to extent of like Troy Daniels, even old as Jared Dudley,
right?
I don't see situations where these guys aren't having plenty of opportunities to flourish within the parameters of what the game is, you know. And that comes down to, you know, when you look at this, are there really any guys on this team other than LeBron James that are those, you know, I'm going to pound the ball into the court 50,000 times? There's really no ball dominant guys here.
No.
Correct me if I'm wrong. No. Other than LeBron.
Other than LeBron, no. And
that works out pretty good. I mean, I guess Rondo, I guess.
But see, unlike last year, we're not expecting Rondo to be having to be a starter because you know, you're hoping that there's health and you're not dealing with an injury like the way that Lonzo Ball did, and then you needed Rajon Rondo to be a starter, and then your offense falls apart.
And I look at, and I, you know, I know you were kind of down on Jared Dudley last week. Correct if I'm wrong.
Well, yeah, it's just age and usage, you know.
Age and usage, but I think if there's one guy that you can look at in like in a Robert Horry role,
right?
That's Jared Dudley,
right?
Big long guy, he can do those Horry type of things.
Yes,
and he's going to hit big shots.
And he can hit big shots.
That's, yeah. I mean, that's it, right?
Right, and it does come down to the fact that we're talking about even somebody like Rondo. I know people don't like him, but we're talking about a veteran with championship experience. It's just that you're not relying on those guys, so the roles fit better.
They can step up in big moments, but you're not depending on them for crap. And I think that's hugely important. It's what we talked about last week, in that when you have a team with LeBron James and Anthony Davis on it, you're going to create these big players. You need to just make sure you have a baseline level of talent.
Correct.
And I mean, I couldn't be happier with what they have done so far, especially pivoting so quickly after Kawhi kind of pulled the rug out from everybody.
I think as a Laker fan, you feel better knowing that sort of everybody's going in the same direction organization-wise.
And you couldn't say that a couple months ago, could you?
No. And you couldn't say that a year ago. There was a lot of questions about the personnel that they were putting in front of LeBron. And obviously it came to a head during the season with performance and depth and injury and stuff like that. So at this point with this team as it is right now, and there's still opportunity. And that's the other thing. It's like as much as Rob Pelinka was getting a lot of crap, I mean, he did a good job of sort of keeping the cap space and figuring out the cap space the right way. You know, some of these guys, you know, they overpay for Danny Green. It's like, well, not really when you're looking at his statistics. And also when you figure you kept him from, they might have had to do that just to keep him away from a team like Dallas.
Yeah.
You know, and there weren't other good shooting guard options, things like that. But to get somebody at his value like Boogie, certainly getting Rondo to sign a minimum deal, you know, then it's not like last year, in my opinion. And so then you have to be happy with what they're doing. And they still have enough space now where they can sign some. If somebody gets dumped, like the guy that I want stupid Memphis to dump, and I wish they had already dumped him because I know he'd be a Laker, is Andre Iguodala.
Yeah.
And that's where
there's been some rumblings that now maybe both LA teams are kind of in competition for him.
Right.
So we'll see.
So we'll see. Thankfully, Pelinka is his former agent, so maybe there's a relationship there. But again, it has to deal with the fact that Memphis has to buy him out because the Lakers really don't have anything to trade for him.
Yeah.
So they're still in, you know, they're still able to expand their roster in that way. And if you get somebody like him, then, you know, you have another good defender and somebody with championship pedigree. So I think the front office deserves some credit for being able to work their cap space as well.
I know this is a sensitive area. I know it is. But I mean, and you, we say that they aren't pulling the same direction. I mean, you could say that, you know, last year they had Walton pulling in one direction, LeBron pulling in another direction, right. Magic pulling in another direction, and then Pelinka pulling in yet another direction, right?
Right.
You could really make at least four different ways last year, right?
Correct.
You know, on the court, off the court, whatever. And the one thing that I look at, you know, you look at what Magic was saying as the face of the organization last year and what they actually did once they signed LeBron and who they signed on and how it went contrary to kind of what the common belief was. And then you look at this year, the only thing that's changed, yeah, Walton's gone, but the only thing that's changed in the organization, you know, in the administration wise is minus Magic. And it just feels like this is a much more, I'm not going to try to pile on Magic because I know we have very different feelings here right now. But the one thing I don't think you can deny is that they are a much more decisive organization at least on that level. And it seems like that's been a positive, having Magic stepped away. At least the argument you could say is that now they don't have two guys kind of at loggerheads with each other.
Correct.
Two guys button heads with each other. Whether you think one was more correct than the other or whatever, at least that's gone. And it seems like, whereas it looked like this was a completely incompetent organization 2 months ago, at the very least it looks like they can function at least at an average level, as long as they're not trying to cut each other's throats.
Correct. There's some cohesion, there's some planning, and if you look at what they did after the Kawhi news came out, it looks like they had a plan in place and they executed it to the best of their abilities, really. Because, you know, at the end, there were a lot of guys that I'm sure the Lakers could have used, a guy like a Seth Curry, a guy like a D'Angelo Russell. But those guys weren't going to come at the prices that the Lakers were going to, you know, be willing to put out. And they didn't overvalue them and they didn't panic and they went with the Kawhi situation. And then when it didn't work out, it, you know, everyone asked, what's their plan B going to be? Well, they showed you what the plan B was. They have some veteran presence, they have some shooting, and they have defenders. And I think they've done the best that they could with their cap space.
It looks pretty good. And then that leads to the next question is, so, yeah, they let Kawhi stream out for a while. And I would say that the biggest negative to them letting Kawhi stream them out is that they, as we talked about earlier, kind of enabled the Clippers to get Kawhi.
Correct.
But if you take that out of the equation, really, by waiting, to me, it doesn't seem like they really missed out on anybody. Like, the biggest free agent that I think they missed out on was Patrick Beverley, honestly.
Probably.
I mean, that's the guy that if you're going to sign any of these guys that got signed,
right.
I mean, I can see how you're saying, like, Russell or whoever it is, but and Beverly wasn't really even on their radar as far as I'm concerned. But to me, that's the only guy that they missed out on. And I was like, that would have made your team a lot better.
Right.
And make the Clippers worse.
Yeah. And it would have been a situation where they would have had to overpay for him because he wanted to go back to the Clippers anyway. So
no doubt.
So, you know, are you going to.
And you were probably getting him anyway.
Right. Are you going to give him, they signed him for, 3 years, 40 million. I mean, they that would have meant wasting all your cap space on one guy.
Yeah,
and that was never going to work.
A guy that's a little bit older too.
Right.
So at the end of the day, really, this isn't about the Lakers failing to sign Kawhi, even though that's what a lot of outlets are trying to sell us. Oh, nobody wants to come to the Lakers. Oh, no free agent, whatever. It's all just kind of garbage, and it's a dumb narrative, and it's kind of I hate when these things kind of get spun up. It's kind of like the Shaq Kobe fight, and it's like the LaVar Ball spoke it into existence, right?
Correct.
And it's just like these narratives always do this. But with that being said, the Clippers now have two superstars, stars.
Yes.
The Lakers have two superstars. We are in an LA-centric NBA, as we said earlier. Is this now a rivalry between the Clippers and the Lakers? Or do we have to wait a little while to see if it's a rivalry?
Yeah, it's a wait and see for me. I know a lot of people want to paint it like that. And yes, the NBA does revolve around LA at the moment because no other city can say they have this kind of firepower when it comes to stardom. I mean, the Staples Center is going to be packed for every basketball game. That's
pretty crazy.
Right?
I'm still mad at Sarah for not letting me buy Clipper tickets, which I could have bought them for about $2,500. And then as soon as I checked after the trade happened, they're $5,000. Then I checked an hour later, they're $10,000.
Right.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Maybe we should have invested.
Jamal, if you would have pushed me further, it was out there, man. It was hanging out there on a hook.
Hey, man, a lot of
I blame you now.
A lot of financial news coming my way hadn't popped up yet. So, frankly,
you have another kid? What's the deal?
No. Okay. We were still waiting on our contract at our hospital. So
I'm just saying,
yeah,
that we could have had tickets for the Western Conference Finals in total.
Or at least
now we only got a half.
Or at least opening night. You never know. If the NBA is smart, opening night should be Clippers Lakers.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, we would.
They haven't announced the schedule yet?
No, they haven't. They have not. Yeah. No.
Well, that's going to be, dude, we're going to have a whole West Coast bias on the schedule. We're going to do a loose cannon style, go through the schedule, predict wins, losses
over
for
and
Clippers
under.
And Lakers.
Oh, yeah.
My God, this is going
to
be amazing.
We might have to go to Vegas, put some money down.
Oh, man.
Well,
Jamal, what game do you want to go to?
What game do I want to go to?
Yeah, Laker game.
Let's go to opening night.
Okay, and I'll tell you right now, I'm going to sell those for about 17 times face value, but that's okay.
I already looked them up.
Go to the second night.
Yeah, 17 times? I think you might get 20 times.
I think you're right. Well, I mean, if just LeBron caused me to have a giant windfall of, in the ticket value, I can't imagine it's going to be. Even though, it's funny, though, because I'm like, man, they're going to have Kawhi Leonard. It was over at that point. It was I could go,
you could
get print my money.
You probably get a summer house in the Hamptons.
Boy, well, we narrowly missed that. That's kind of,
But like we were saying.
But it's still going
to
be good.
Are they the rivals? No, we still have to wait and see. We don't know what their games are going to be like.
Yeah.
And to me, it still matters in terms of, the Clipper fans hate to hear this, but it still matters in terms of the fact that the Clippers haven't even gotten past into the Western Conference Final. They, you can't get past the second round, whereas the Lakers can, the Staples Center is all about them, and if you listen on talk radio and stuff like that, it's still going to be Lakers all the time. Yeah, the Clippers will have some presence, especially if they get off to a great start, but can you imagine if the Clippers have some hiccups or whatever trying to coalesce? They're like 10-10 and the Lakers come out the gate 17-2.
Well, Paul George might not even start the season for like a month.
Right.
Is what I heard.
He's had two shoulder surgeries.
Yeah.
So, if you're in a situation like that, it's going to be the same old, same old. And I think it's still going to be the same old, same old.
Yeah. And really it comes down to until the Clippers eliminate the Lakers in the playoffs, which might be a matchup this year, which would be crazy.
Yes.
Right. Or until the Clippers go on, win a title and then win another title or whatever.
Right.
And the Lakers have like 6 or 7 horrible years.
Right.
Then the tide might just start to turn a little bit.
Right.
But I mean, even if the Clippers win a championship, I just have a feeling it's going to be like the Angels, it's like that it bubbles up for a little while. And then the bottom line is for every one Clipper fan, there's like 20 Laker fans. So it's going to be really hard. And I'm, and of course we're talking about narratives. In this case, the narratives kind of work to the Lakers to West Coast bias, our homer ass advantage, right, in that we're going to get the, you know, they're going to have, you know, Paul George throw the first ball out at a Dodger game. He's going to get his ass booed or something like that. There's going to be stories like that throughout the year.
Right.
You know, and by the way, it's funny because it's like a weird, like, it's like East Germany, West Germany, you know,
right,
sort of situation where in Los Angeles, the Lakers are going to be the overwhelming popular team.
Correct.
Even though there's going to be some trendy hipsters, you know, probably Mike and Alicia Daratola and right, stupid Michael Steele.
The ringer.
Not Mike. Mike's a tried true Laker fan. But there's going to be some hipsters out there that are it's hip to clip. In LA, the Lakers are obviously going to be the dominant. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Right.
But nationally, the Clippers are the darling. They're already the darling.
Oh, of course. Naturally,
and so we're going to have to, that's going to be a weird kind of narrative where it's like you read something local and it's going to be, oh, all Lakers, and you read something, you know, national, or not even read, because I mean, Plaschke's already.
Oh,
you know,
yeah. He's already
sharpened his knives.
Right. Of course.
I mean, you know, somebody asked today, is Plaschke like, does he hate the Lakers? No, he just,
no.
He
thinks he likes to know where
the wind,
the wind,
which
is,
way the wind blows. That's what right, Plaschke is. But anyway, right, sorry. Oh, I think we're digressing. It's now almost 1 o'clock, and you're on vacation though, right?
Yeah, I'm on vacation.
So that's good. I mean, I think we got a solid half hour to this of good Laker Kawhi Clipper talk, and it's gotten to the point now where, like, this is the first, even when LeBron signed last year, after they started doing their other signings and it was just LeBron, and you're like, yeah, they're probably going to be okay.
Right.
No, I didn't get that excited last year.
Well, no, last year everybody was, we were all thinking, you know, okay, it's the first year of LeBron, and so if they make the playoffs, they might make a little bit of noise, but that's about it.
Yeah, there wasn't a real high ceiling.
No. Now
it's, obviously, you didn't expect them to have the floor they had.
Right. Now it's their contenders. They're contenders. You have to acknowledge that the Lakers are contenders. Yes, the NBA is wide open.
Yeah.
There are 10 teams that can probably say, well, they're contenders, although I disagree with that number. But the Lakers are contenders.
So. Lakers are contenders. Clippers are contenders. Right. The basketball universe is in Los Angeles, and that's a cool thing. And it's going to be fun to talk about. It's cool because the season starts earlier.
Yeah.
It's October.
October.
Right around the corner.
Yeah.
And this time it's not going to be a complete afterthought in the course of football, because there's actually some legitimate stuff to look at. So yeah. Until, I don't know when the next West Coast bias will be, I mean, but...
I'm going to be gone for a couple of weeks. So.
Yeah, so am I.
So unless something big happens and I call you from Philadelphia or Boston, wherever I'm at.
Yeah, right. That's right. Well, when I went to New Orleans, I brought back Anthony Davis. So I think you need to think about what you need to bring back.
God, it'd be weird.
Go to Memphis and bring back Iggy Dollar.
Maybe Iggy. Maybe Iggy. Maybe I'll run into Iggy in Boston or something.
Sounds good. Well, until next time, how do we sign this thing off?
We're the West Coast. It's the best coast. We're West Coast bias.
West Coast is the best coast, what I'm told.